with Justin Akre and Pat Bradley on the Buzz Radio Network.
Welcome back to Mexico Chiquito, West Little Rock on Cantrell Road. Just had a great point made to me. If somebody walked in here with a vest full of dynamite, you could take out the better part of Little Rock Radio in one fell swoop. Bam.
What are you trying to say? What are you trying to give?
Well, luckily we got security here, so we're good.
The sheriff. Not supposed to be here either.
No, I won't tell him. 13924 Cantrell Road. That's where we are, Mexico Chiquito, and the seating is unveiled. The brackets will be filled in. It is now official, and I think Roger did a great job. The biggest complaint I've gotten is that Shakira should have been a 2 seed instead of a 1 seed. I feel pretty good about our bracket. David Basil, stirring the pot. We need a Channel 4 representative to balance the history of the Bay bracket. That's the only way to make it right. My wife also tweeted out, so she's listening. That's good to know. She says the greatest thing about the Bay bracket is listening to Pat laugh at RJ's selections.
What? Was I laughing? My bad.
Poor RJ.
There was a couple that
no respect.
Kind of shocked me. So no, I give him tons of respect. It's not easy. It really isn't easy. I'm not saying it's easy.
Drew says, would Channel 4 and 16 be playing for the same team out there all together? I bet that there is no love in the living room there at the 416.
Is Donna Terrell in it this year? Yeah, she is.
Okay. All right, very good. Well, it's going to be fun anyway. I appreciate it.
I think Chris Kane did a fantastic job.
There's no question. No question about it.
I'm a big Chris Kane fan.
All right. Peter says that Julia Louis-Dreyfus was never hot. And if he didn't make such good baklava, I would have a bigger issue with that. He wants to know if Lindy's in it.
Lindy Blackstone.
Lindy
Lanford.
He said, what about Heidi Klum? Heidi Klum was narrowly out of the field. She probably easily could have been in for Julia Louis-Dreyfus.
Oh, you know who they missed? I'm going
to
tell you
though,
honestly who you missed.
I have a huge bias.
Leo DiCaprio's wife in...
Oh, yeah, she's too new. Robbie. She's fantastic. Margot Robbie.
Trust me.
She'll be in next year.
You Google her.
She'll be in next year. She's got some big movies coming up this year again, too. Here's the other thing, is that we easily could have put in Heidi ahead of Julia Louis, but my problem is I bias against supermodels, because if your whole deal is to be hot, it's not really... I prefer the irrelevant for another reason. Kate Upton sort of has transcended the model thing. I mean, she's so much bigger than that. Plus, she's been in a couple of movies bigger than that. I didn't mean it like that, RJ. But anyway, she's been in a couple of movies, too. So, I mean, she's pretty legit. I got no problem with her.
I don't think Julia Louis-Dreyfus is going to make
Heidi Klum's done two things. Made a supermodel and married Seal.
Well, what's the name of the contest called? What's the name of the bracket?
Babe.
Okay. Is Julia Louis-Dreyfus more
Julia
of a babe?
Julia Louis-Dreyfus.
Is she more of a babe than Heidi Klum?
No.
Then what are we discussing?
Well, Pat, okay, if we're going to play it that way, then we can...
Well, then call it something else.
Well, then let's have Giselle. Let's have all the supermodels in.
Then don't call it the babe bracket.
I'm just telling you the way I see it. I bias against supermodels because it's your whole thing is to be hot. That's your whole deal. That's all you bring to the table.
Well, it is a babe bracket is my point.
It's not a supermodel bracket.
It's not the most put-together female bracket
okay,
that
fine.
We know.
You know what we'll do? We'll do a supermodel bracket in the summertime to kill some time.
There you go.
Oh, that's what you're really looking
now,
for.
If
you're just trying to get Tom Brady's wife to a championship.
If it's the most put-together female bracket, yes, okay. Julia Louis-Dreyfus has a great combination of personality and looks. Certainly.
Yeah.
No doubt about it. Much like the local female intelligence and beauty bracket.
Yes.
That's what we should call it.
You know what?
You guys are so sexist.
We're going to do an engineer bracket. Gary Horn is my man.
The Arkansas Times is right. You guys are so sexist.
Take it up with Tommy Smith.
Hey, Tommy Smith, the Arkansas Times is right. You are sexist.
Kev says, what's wrong with Bradley's sinuses? Did he try to do a line of tomato soup this morning?
Bro, my allergy's killing me. Killing me.
You got a little piece of chicken noodle hanging in there.
Do you know how close I came from ordering a... chicken tortilla soup, but I couldn't. I was just too
probably
nervous.
A good move.
Just too nervous.
Paul says,
"Look, this guy."
Chad, it's a little early for that, isn't it?
Are you all right, Chad?
Paul says, "This is Mr. Travolta talking. I vote for Holly Sandbags, that chick on the golf show." RJ, is that right? John Travolta texted in. I vote for Holly Sandbags. Note to Basil: Brittany Johnson should have been a solid seed as opposed to an opening round game. Oh, there is a lot of bitterness. Brian has got a personal vendetta. Lots of issues. Okay. Let's hear from some coaches. I know this taco, the taco salad, it's basically a plate of tortilla chips covered in goodness. It is spectacular, I must say that. That is really good. Okay. Chaka Smart going back and forth with Mike Krzyzewski about the A-10. A-10 overrepresented, yes or no?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Six teams from the A-10, that's ridiculous. The SEC... getting disrespected, according to John Calipari. Here he is on the seeding and his unhappiness with it yesterday on the SEC teleconference?
Well, you know, first of all, you got to figure out why the world did this happen. And now that it's happened, I'm not worried about it. But someone's got to find out when you have a strength of schedule of two, and that's all they keep talking about. What did you use to make that team an eight? What did you use? And they can use anything. Well, it was a cloudy day that day, and we decided they were an eight, and that's what it is. And you go, and as a coach, you say, that's fine. Put me where you want. Let's go. But as a league, we got to figure out Tennessee played as well as any team in the country down the stretch. Are you taking how teams are playing at the end or how we were playing at the end? Not in your case. Well, what did you take in our case? And you really got to go down and find out what it was. And, you know, well, you didn't beat enough people. Did everybody else? I mean, you know, so compared to who? And so that's the kind of stuff that our league, not me, not the ADs, our league needs to find out what in the room, who in that room, what were we basing this on? Because you can't keep moving the goalpost. It's strength of schedule, really. Then move the goalpost. It's how you finish, really. No, it's who you didn't beat enough people, really. I mean, which one, you know, and moving the goalpost makes it easy. But you know what? At the end of the day in this thing, you just got to go play now. And I'm just happy my team's in a great frame of mind. We have another opponent, just like the SEC. You're going from LSU to Georgia to Florida to Kansas State. They're all the same. You're playing the same kind of team.
So many things to say about John Calipari's comments. I do like the fact that he worked in a football reference for a team that gets all sorts of respect for football and none for basketball. I like where he's working there. I would also say that if I was Mike Slive, I would also try to parlay some of that football success into a little more respect for my league as a basketball conference. I thought he had a little more stroke with the NCAA than apparently he does.
Yeah.
Also, John Calipari, not that I would expect him to in any way, because A, we're not that important, and B, I'm assuming he doesn't listen to any Little Rock radio, must not have heard our interview with our friend from the NCAA who said the last 10 games don't matter anymore. Clearly they don't, because Kentucky played pretty well in the last few games. But Tennessee played extremely well the last 10.
There is a lot of, I'm not going to say it's hypocrisy, but the last 10 games don't matter. But everybody knows that teams change. Coaches purposely, and this is the reason why I was watching Dino Gaudi. I don't know if you know him. He's a former college coach that's on ESPN now and a couple of those other guys.
Yeah.
They were talking about the importance of having guys who have been there before. Can you imagine a 10-person committee made up of Bobby Knight, John Thompson, Nolan Richardson, former coaches who have been through that? There's plenty of them out there,
Okay,
that you can assign during the – there's plenty of money to where an athletic director or a commissioner of a league doesn't have to – and this was the argument yesterday. Do you think an athletic director – with all he's got to do, look at Jeff Long, all he's got to do with men's sports, women's sports, and everything else, how are they also going to be able to keep up with every team that's going on? There's 60, you got to keep up with over 100 teams because now there are the teams on the bubble that you get to knock off. So my point is, when you look at it, okay, the last 10 games supposedly are important. Well, every coach knows, and everybody who's been watching college sports for a long time and who's played it, and even some of these fans who are into it, you know your team purposely goes through phases in the season. I can remember Coach Richardson. He felt like in 98, we didn't have a very talented team. So what did he do? He got us tournament ready early in the SEC schedule, and we had a great early on SEC. Then we sort of petered out. Most coaches, what they'll do is they'll time their season so they're playing their best basketball at the end of the conference, so it's going into the tournament. So there's so many different ways and reasons why you should look at the last 10 games. Absolutely you should.
I got no problem with that.
That's a strategy.
But that's not – and it's not about not looking at the last 10. It's more about emphasizing the non-conference and the November games. That was the whole point.
Listen, and I definitely agree with that. I'm all about scheduling
November,
December.
I think it all should matter.
But I think you should schedule those teams early on in November, December, because you'll need that experience come March.
I will say this. With the record they had, they did have a little lull. They actually had a couple minor lulls.
Yeah.
Minor, very minor by comparison to a lot of teams. But Kentucky, strength of schedule at 2 and the number of wins they had, they should absolutely have been higher than it. He has a legitimate
threat.
That's
pretty impressive, 2 strength of schedule.
There is no question, Pat, when you play in a league that's 7th or whatever, and you have it, you end up with a 2, you had to really work hard out of conference.
One thing he does is he does challenge those young, rookies, those young freshmen early on in the season.
They are rookies, let's be honest.
Yeah, they are.
They're spending their rookie year in college instead of the pros like they should. Quanzo Martin, his team is in the opening round game. I can't imagine he's thrilled with that. I thought Tennessee got, of the 3 teams in the SEC, I thought they got the worst deal. I thought they played well enough, and considering it's only a 3-team league versus 6 in the A-10, will you come on already, that they should not have been in the play-in game, especially the way they played down the stretch. I thought the body of work was good enough. My opinion, certainly not that of the committee. Here's Quanzo Martin on their draw and about the SEC as a whole.
Well, first and foremost, excited to be in the NCAA tournament. To represent the SEC, you know, which is obviously a tough league to go through in the battle. Just certainly an honor to represent the SEC and University of Tennessee. Playing against a talented Iowa opponent, a lot of parts, so we had a chance to see him in the Bahamas. I watched a lot of Big Ten Network basketball games, so I've seen those guys. One of the best transition teams in all of college basketball. Do I think we did enough? Yes, to avoid the play-in game, which is, you know, both, again, we're honored to be in the NCAA tournament, but I thought we did enough through the course of the season. The season is a grind. Especially when you're talking about if the criteria is the RPI, the strength of schedule. When you look at Tennessee's RPI and look at Tennessee's strength of schedule, and you look at some of the other teams that were at higher seeds, if that's the scenario. Because, again, it goes back to what's really the criteria. Every year is something different. We beat 3 top 25 teams last year, had a solid RPI, strength of schedule, didn't get in. Well, you look at our RPI, BPI, and our strength of schedule this year, you're probably talking about a team that's an 8 or 9 seed. It didn't happen. So, and as far as the SEC, it's just unfortunate because you're talking about 2 or 3 other teams that, in my opinion, should have been NCAA tournament teams. And it's just unfortunate. And what do we do? I don't know. I'm still trying to figure it out myself. I don't know.
Well, you know what? They may not look at the last 10, but certainly a couple of SEC teams, if they had won one more game in the tournament,